from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, here today for Michael Krasny. Coming up, the leading candidates for lieutenant governor join us to talk about their plans for California. A recent field poll shows San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom and incumbent lieutenant governor Abel Maldonado locked in a very tight race. But a fourth of all voters are still undecided. We'll meet the Republican and Democratic nominees, hear how they see the job, and then later talk with some of the minor party candidates. We'll take your calls and comments on Forum, and we'll get started right after this. And welcome back to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, here today for Michael Krasny. Well, some people joke that the lieutenant governor of California doesn't really do anything that important, but there is a long list of duties that have that are related to higher education, the economy, environmental policy, and a whole lot more. And the lieutenant governor, of course, is legally in charge whenever the governor is out of state, as Governor Schwarzenegger was earlier this month when the San Bruno fire and explosion occurred. And joining us this hour are the two leading candidates for that job, the incumbent lieutenant governor, Republican Abel Maldonado, who joins us by phone, and the Democratic nominee, San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom, with me here in the studio. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Scott.
Well, let's talk about a new field poll that is out this morning, and it is not good news for anybody who is an incumbent in Sacramento. 10% approval for the state legislature, 23% approval for the governor. When asked who's to blame for the budget that's now more than 3 months late, they pretty much voters spread the blame out between the governor, Democrats, Republicans, and some people think everyone's to blame. 81% think the state is seriously off on the wrong track. Abel Maldonado, let me begin with you because you are in Sacramento. You've been in the state legislature. What do you think is driving this dissatisfaction, this incredible unhappiness that voters feel right now towards Sacramento?
Well, we have a system in place right now where the place is partisan. It's very, very partisan. Both parties, Republicans, are very partisan. Democrats are very, very partisan, and they run both the Assembly and they run the Senate. And I must say that that's one of the reasons I worked hard on Proposition 14. It's been passed, and that will begin the process of changing. There's also two propositions, Proposition 20 and Proposition 27, which I think take it a long way to take this partisanship out of Sacramento that people so despise, because we have folks in Sacramento that are more worried about their political careers. They're more worried about growing the political party instead of growing the economy and growing the great state of California.
Let me just stop you there, because you say that the Democrats control both houses of the legislature. Are you saying that the Republicans have no part in the partisanship that people deplore up in Sacramento?
Absolutely not. I said Republicans are also very, very partisan. We have a legislature today that ideas are thrown out, and they start looking at, they call the special interest first. Then after that, they look at if it hurts their next step in their political career. And if it does, they vote no. If it doesn't, if it allows them to move forward in their political career, they'll vote yes. It's very partisan, and I'm telling you because I lived it. And I was there in 1998 when we had the folks that were there, John Burtons, we had Ken Matties, we had
moderate
Dave
Republicans.
Kelly's. And I don't know about moderate. They were pragmatic, they're reasonable and open-minded, and they cared about California. The system that we have today, we don't have that anymore. They're very, very, very partisan, and it's not good for California, and that's why the poll ratings are very, very low.
Gavin Newsom, from your perspective in San Francisco, and as you've traveled the state, what would you add to that?
Well, I think it's absolutely right. We have a system that gets politicians like my opponent where they need to go, but not where Californians, where they need to go. You got unemployment in the state of California in 20 counties, it's north of 15%. You go down to Imperial County, unemployment's north of 30%. People are working hard for less, those that have the privilege of a job. People are frustrated by the last 10, 12 years where you've seen your UC fees tripled. You've seen your California State University fees tripled. You've seen a divestment from public education that's historic. People are frustrated by the leadership. They're certainly frustrated by the partisanship, but they're also frustrated by the lack of new ideas and new initiatives and bold leadership. And I think it absolutely argues for fundamental change.
Now, your opponent has gotten in trouble with the Republican Party for votes he's cast on behalf of the governor's budget in the past. He has also pushed the idea of an open primary, which some say would elect more moderates to the legislature. What do you think of yourself as a is a bipartisan person because of, you know, San Francisco is the most Democratic or one of the most Democratic parts of California, and some people see you as being very partisan.
Well, I'm a hard-headed pragmatist. I think you have to be to govern a city, particularly a city like this. I come from the private sector. I've created over 1,000 jobs. I'm a pro-job Democrat, and I'm a Democrat that believes in fiscal discipline. We balance budgets without raising general taxes. We, at the same time, have made historic investments in health care, education, investments in our infrastructure, and we didn't lay off police officers and firefighters this year. Contrast that to California, a bond rating that's now below Kazakhstan, Indonesia, and Mexico, a state that has divested from public education $8.6 billion in cuts, education cuts to higher education institutions of learning have been devastating. We have moved in a different direction, and I think partisanship needs to be put aside. We need real leadership, and we need bold leadership with new ideas and a different approach, and that's the approach I've taken as mayor of San Francisco. It's the approach I would take as lieutenant governor.
What would you do as lieutenant governor? Because everyone sort of agrees on what the problems are. There's a structural deficit this year. It's $19 billion. It's been north of $10 billion for as long as I can remember. What would you do as lieutenant governor, given the limited responsibility that the lieutenant governor
Scott,
has?
You began the show making a very sound point. There's three formal roles for the lieutenant governor. One is the Commission on Economic Development. So first and foremost, focus on jobs. I mentioned those counties with unemployment north of 15%. Jobs are the number one priority. Second, we need to right the wrongs of the past on these increases of higher education. I mean, let me put it in perspective. When Abel Maldonado started, the fees at the CSU system were roughly $1,400. Now they're over $4,200. You saw the UC fees go up 32%, $2,500 last year. They're over $10,300. They were less than $3,400 when he got into office. We got to right that wrong. And third, we got to—
Are you saying it's his fault?
I'd like to— Well, I'm going to hold him accountable for last year's budget deal, absolutely, which precipitated in that 32% fee increase at UC. But third, I would focus on changing the way we produce and consume energy and use the chairmanship every other year of the State Lands and Ocean Protection Council and being an ex officio on the Coastal Commission to change the way we produce and consume energy in the state and lead not just this nation, but advance our environmental principles. And again, this is in stark contrast to Abel, who opposed AB 32, something that I'm very supportive of and believe we need a lieutenant governor that's committed to the environment.
Abel Maldonado, AB 32, the mayor mentioned that. What's your position on AB 23, which would suspend that, for all intents and purposes, kill it, really, because it would be suspended until the unemployment rate came down to 5.5 for four consecutive quarters, I believe.
Actually, it's Proposition 23, and I'll be voting no on Proposition 23. I think it sends a wrong message to the people of California when all the investment that's coming to this great state happens to be in green technology, tax breaks, and so forth. But you know what?
Did you oppose AB 32?
Absolutely. AB 32, I voted no, and I'll tell you why. Because there was a piece of legislation that was a shell that mandated CARB to go out there and write all the regulations without no accountability from the legislature. So it was an easy no vote. Now that it's signed and it is law, it is the law of the land. And by the way, those reforms have not come out yet out of CARB. So in the process, I've said, made it very clear, we ought to vote no on Proposition 23. I think the governor, it's in the bill, should put a moratorium on AB 32 as it comes out if it hurts jobs. And if it doesn't hurt jobs, then let it go.
And Scott, this is an important point. Look, I appreciate, Abel, you're saying all this investment's coming to the state. It doesn't happen magically. It happens because of strong leadership. It happens because of bold leadership. Let me congratulate and compliment the governor of this state that had the courage to move us forward and support AB 32 and its principles. We've seen venture capital investment almost triple in the last few years in the state of California. We have more venture capital in the green tech sector in this state than any other state in the nation. It didn't happen by happenstance. If we had it your way, that wouldn't be the case. We wouldn't have these investments. And I appreciate you're now coming out against Prop 23, but the fact is, you are once again parroting Meg Whitman and others and talking about suspending AB 32. It's a question of whether or not we have bold leadership. It's a question of whether or not we move forward with deliberativeness in terms of a low carbon green growth strategy. I think this is stark contrast in this election.
I must say, Mr. Mayor, that when you go out there and you talk about my record on the environment and you like the fact that I'm no on Prop Prop 23. All I can say is that when there's been an oil disaster in your city, Mr. Mayor, let's be very sincere, you took off to Hawaii. You had 58,000 gallons of oil spilled in the bay. You were in Hawaii under a palm tree. Give me a break.
Hey, but with all due respect, the fact is every major environmental group in the state of California has endorsed my candidacy. They oppose your candidacy. You got an F rating by the League of Conservation Voters. You've equivocated on offshore oil drilling. Our environmental record is absolutely sound. It's in stark contrast to yours.
At the end of the day, Mr. Mayor, let's be honest with you. You own Deep Horizons for 3 years.
All right, I don't want to devolve into that. I want to bring this back to some of the policy questions. Mayor Newsom, you said you wanted to change the way energy is produced and consumed in California to promote green jobs. You didn't mention the word tax. I mean, a lot of people feel that you've got to put a tax on carbon or raise the tax on gasoline in order to give an incentive to people to move toward green energy. Is that part of your plan?
Scott, in San Francisco, as you may know, and Abel, this may be of interest to you, we've rolled back our greenhouse gas emissions 7% below 1990 levels. We achieved that in 2008 as we grew our economy. We didn't do it with tax increases. We did it with the most progressive green building standards in America, the most aggressive recycling programs in America, the most aggressive effort to create a ubiquitous infrastructure for electric vehicles and alternative fuels. And that's the kind of leadership we need. Advance those principles in the 57 other counties in the state as chair of state lands. That will be my focus and my intensity.
So are you saying you would not support any kind of changes in the tax structure to give incentives?
Well, obviously, CARB's going to be looking at this as part of the implementation in 2012 through 2020 with AB 32. But let me make a point. What AB 32 does, and it's clear now, Abel Maldonado once again said he would be open to suspending it. Of course, it's not surprising considering he voted against it. AB 32 calls to roll back our greenhouse gas emissions in the state to 1990 levels by 2020. I'll repeat, in San Francisco, we've already rolled ours back 7% below 1990 levels in 2008 as we grew our economy. This is the ticket to broad-based economic growth, and we need real leadership. And we don't need folks that are one side one day, another side another day. Real leadership and environment, and the environment and jobs are linked. They go together. One of the principal roles of Lieutenant Governor is focusing on the green economy and reconciling the fact that this state is still we still make good progress, but still not the leader it can be if we have the courage to change the way, again, we produce and consume energy.
Lieutenant Governor Maldonado, I want to come back to the budget. The legislature and the governor are still grappling with how to resolve that $19 billion deficit. Based on what you know, can it be solved without any kind of increase in revenue?
Absolutely, and I think the governor's doing it at this point in time. And for Mayor Newsom to come out and start talking about me cutting education and me raising revenues, I'd really like to ask him the question how he would have fixed a $62 billion deficit that we had last year without raising revenues and without cutting education, which was impossible to do. I've never cut education until last year when it was a very, very difficult vote. But obviously he loves to have his cake and eat it too. When he talks about the environmental, I authored a piece of legislation urging Congress that no less than 25% of the energy consumed in the U.S. should be by 2025 provided by renewable resources. So Mr. Mayor is very, very sharp on getting his little message out, his little things out there. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. He throws a couple numbers out. But I think it's important that people see what he's done. And this budget situation that we have this year is going to be a difficult one. It's hard. There's no secret. It's hard to go out there and make the tough decisions. I've done them. I did it last year. And when those young students wrote to me and said, hey, can you pass the budget? When you had somebody calling me and say, you know what, I'm not getting my tax refunds. Teachers, firefighters calling me and saying, hey, can you pass the budget? Now Mr. Newsom said, well, what's the problem here?
Mayor Newsom, in fairness, it was the leadership of the Democratic Party in the legislature that agreed to those things.
All you're that are endorsing Gavin.
You're criticizing Maldonado for voting for it, but it was, you know, Daryl Steinberg and the leadership of the Democratic Party.
My critique is this. You know, you got to do what you're going to say, and you got to mean what you say. It's about integrity. He signed a pledge not to raise taxes, and he went ahead and raised taxes. He says he didn't cut education. It's not true. In 2004, he supported Governor Schwarzenegger's budget that cut education. The fact is this, and I know it's difficult for Abel, and I honestly appreciate the difficult position he's in. Since he got in the legislature, he's been there 12 years. You've seen tuition increases, $11 per unit, now $26 per unit, the community college system. You see the California State University fees go from $1,400 to $4,200. and you see fees triple. And the budget deal that he supported included the biggest tax increase in California history and the biggest education cuts in California history. I do agree with Abel that what you do proves what you believe. In San Francisco, let's contrast.
Well, let me
that.
Just stop you.
We're
because are you saying that you could have balanced the budget in a way that would not have cut education funding or would not have raised revenues?
I think it's a limited frame. The fact is, San Francisco had the biggest budget deficit in its city's history, and we found a way not to raise taxes, not to lay off police officers, firefighters. We expanded health care, preschool, and after school because we managed the budget.
But you don't have to. But you don't have to get. You don't have to. You know, have. You don't have to deal with Republicans on the county legislature.
Well, I've got to deal with. I've got to deal with members of the board, and only our local audience could fully appreciate that.
I gotta tell you, Mr. Mayor, when you say "do as you say" and mean what you say. A couple of months ago, you were saying, I'm not going to run for lieutenant governor. For the life of me, what the lieutenant governor does. What happened there?
Let me there are a couple of things on the ballot that would address this question of the state budget. One of them is Proposition 25, which would allow a simple majority vote to pass a state budget. Just give me a simple yes or no. Abel Maldonado, are you for it or against it?
I'm a no.
Why is that?
Well, I just think that we've got plenty of taxes in California, and to pass this initiative to make it easier to pass a budget with more taxes would be bad for California, number one. And I put two reforms in place, redistricting and Proposition 14, which is the open primary. What's wrong with a bipartisan budget? What's wrong with Republicans and Democrats coming to the table and saying, we can get this job done?
Mayor Newsom, up or down vote on the
majority
budget?
Rule? It works in almost every single state in this nation, save two others. We're the only state in America, Rhode Island, Arkansas, the two others, but that have a two-thirds requirement for the budget. I believe in the majority rule, and I believe it's the right thing. What you have with the two-thirds is you will have the deal-making and the backroom deals that have gotten us what we have in the state of California, and I just think that this state deserves more accountability, more transparency than those late-night backroom deals with the tyranny of the minority. I think if it works in almost every other state, Democrat and Republican states, it can work here in California. It's one of the reforms that I absolutely support. We've got to lower that threshold on the budget for the two-thirds.
Abel Maldonado, there's nothing in Prop 25 that says it'll be easier to pass taxes or raise taxes with a simple majority.
Well, I've been in Sacramento, and I've known what the majority in Sacramento does. They'd love to pass a budget, raise taxes. If they were so concerned, they could have passed the governor's budget immediately. But
Because they'd love to doesn't mean they can. There's nothing in Prop 25 that allows that.
There's no ramifications right now in Sacramento. These folks go out there, and they do whatever the heck they want if it's good for their political career. And I really believe that I've seen where when they can do simple majority things, they move the P, they cross this, they do that. They're very, very smart. They're very sneaky, and the last thing we need to have is the people of California pay more taxes because of Proposition 25.
You know, why is it that 46, why can't California be trusted with a majority vote on the budget? 46 other states do that.
And you know what? The people of California are going to decide that. And in a couple of weeks, they're going to have that choice, and if they say yes, we're going to have it, we'll have to honor it. If they say no, it's pretty simple. Work together, Republicans and Democrats, to get a budget out with two-thirds vote.
Well, I'd like to see leadership on this. I think this is one of the fundamental reforms we need. I also think we need two-year budgets. I think we need a more robust rainy day reserve. I believe in providing resources to our counties and cities, something that Daryl Steinberg and I have talked a lot about called realignment. I believe in pay as you go. I believe that we need to look at term limits again. And I agree with Abel that what we have up in Sacramento is unacceptable. These deals that are cut that are always good for the politicians in Sacramento have been certainly very good for Abel Maldonado.
Gavin Newsom, mayor of San Francisco, and he's joining us this hour along with the lieutenant governor, Abel Maldonado, the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. Mayor Newsom running against him. And by the way, later in the hour, we'll be hearing from a couple of the minor party candidates. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Let me ask about another measure on the ballot. And these are not sexy ballot measures. They are not getting a lot of attention. They're not getting a lot of coverage, and they're complicated. Prop 26 would categorize many state and local fees as taxes and require a two-thirds vote, fees on developers, oil and gas suppliers, and so on. And it would make it much harder for the state and local government to raise revenue. Abel Maldonado, Prop 26, yes or no?
Yes, and I think it's important to make it harder for politicians to raise taxes. I'll be voting yes on 26.
Mayor?
I appreciate it. I just want to remind people the biggest tax increase in California history was negotiated with Abel Maldonado as the principal key vote. That being said, Prop 26 is the Prop 13 of counties and cities. I think it is a serious mistake if we support Prop 26. I think it's going to be a backbreaker. Look, local government is where services are delivered. We are already seeing Sacramento, because they cannot get their own budget act together, raiding city and county funds, transportation funds, funds for infrastructure, funds for health and human services consistently. Abel Maldonado has been part of those budgets. We need to provide some flexibility, just a little flexibility, for these cities and counties. Prop 26 reduces that that flexibility,
Mayor,
and I'm opposed to it.
You say one thing and you do another, Mr. Mayor. I'm not for taxes, by the way. I'm for an oil severance tax. I'm not for this, but make it easier to pass taxes. I'm not for this, but eliminate the two-thirds vote to raise taxes. Where are you?
Well, again, I just think, with respect, Abel, you're confused. Prop 25 is about reducing the threshold to pass a budget, not to pass taxes.
So as a local official, and you've both been in local government, Abel Maldonado, you were, I believe, on the city council in Santa Maria. Mayor Newsom, you were on the Board of Supervisors before becoming mayor. What would Prop 26 do to a city like San Francisco or Santa Maria? And I'll start with you, Gavin Newsom.
Well, just again, it reduces flexibility for the cities and counties to address the macroeconomic realities, not only in the state and this nation.
Is it fair to say that fees are being raised because taxes can't be?
In Democratic cities and counties and Republican cities and counties. It's called the cards that are dealt. You have to deal with the reality. Again, there's where the hard-headed pragmatism comes in of being a mayor and a county leader. And when you take away discretion, you take away for the ability for these cities and counties to protect seniors, to protect the disabled, to protect those that are on county adult assistance and welfare, then people get hurt. And that's what I fear. I'm not a tax and spend liberal. I've tried to fight hard against tax increases, but there are fees. There are fines that are necessary to keep our community clinics open, to provide dignity to our seniors. And what Prop 26 does is it restricts the ability for local government to do that at a time when the state is cutting back and a time when the federal government is going to start making dramatic cuts.
Abel Maldonado, given that the state has taken...
I think the mayor's, he's obviously a big supporter of the city of Bell, because that's exactly what happened in Bell. They lowered the threshold. They got to do whatever they wanted. And the mayor has this confusion with the tax. He calls it a fee. He calls it a benefit assessment. It's a tax. This notion of hiding the pee again, he's very, very good at trying to convince voters that he's not for taxes, but there has been a tax he doesn't love.
Are you saying that that if Prop 26 passes, it would have no impact, adverse impact on local services?
What's wrong with the local community coming together and passing a budget or getting their resources with a bipartisan support with the majority of the board? What's wrong with that?
But are you saying,
why do we want to make it easier for politicians to raise taxes? I don't get it.
Well, I just want to ask if you could answer that question. Do you think if Prop 26 passes, it'll have a negative impact on services at the local level?
Absolutely not.
So how are they going to make? How would they make up the difference?
What do you mean? How do they make up the difference? They can't come together to get their resources with two-thirds vote. Absolutely.
If
the community supports it, they're going to vote for it. If the community doesn't support it, they're not going to vote for it. It's that simple. So why not with two-thirds vote?
Abel, with respect, the two-thirds vote is a very difficult threshold. One of the godsends.
When you have a bad idea, of course it's a difficult threshold. When it's a tax and a fee, of course it's a difficult threshold.
One of the godsends in California has been the leadership and the wisdom of elected officials to reduce the threshold, particularly for school bonds. You go back and you look at the extraordinary needs of infrastructure in our public school system throughout this state. We'd be in much worse shape had we not reduced that two-thirds threshold down to 55%. My point of saying this is give the counties, give the cities the tools to be successful. Give them the ability to make tough decisions. All Prop 26 does, and all these things coming from Sacramento do, is restrict the ability for cities and counties to be laboratories of innovation. And right now we need to be investing in innovation and entrepreneurship, and that's delivered at the local level. And with respect, it's not delivered, and I know you've been up there 12 years, it's not delivered in Sacramento.
San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom, will have more with him and Lieutenant Governor Abel Maldonado coming up right after the break. You can call with your comments, 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also join the conversation by going to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment you want to comment on. And welcome back to Forum. Scott Schaefer here this morning with the two candidates for Lieutenant Governor, Abel Maldonado, the incumbent Republican appointed to that job by Governor Schwarzenegger, and Mayor Gavin Newsom from San Francisco, the Democratic nominee. If you'd like to join our conversation, it's 866-733-6786. Let's start off in Oakland. Catherine is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. Yeah, my question for both candidates is how they feel about repealing Proposition 13 for corporate interests. I think that most people would trace many of our budget woes back to Proposition 13 that was passed in the late 1970s, and I'd like to hear what the candidates have to say about repealing those property taxes, especially for corporate interests.
All right, and some people refer to that as having a split role where the commercial property is reassessed more frequently than it is now. Abel Maldonado, what's your position?
I do not support overturning Proposition 13 for homeowners or for businesses.
Because you think it's equitable the way it is?
I think it is, and I think that lifting an initiative that was passed by the voters of California, lifting it in order to make it easier to raise more revenue so the politicians can spend more money. It doesn't make sense.
Well, the voters would have to approve it.
Of course, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Gavin Newsom?
But I appreciate Catherine's question because it was, as Scott, you pointed out, a nuanced
yes
one.
Yes or no, Mr. Mayor?
The fact is that the residential side of Prop 13, no one is even debating that. I've had the opportunity to do town halls all up and down the state, a lot of Democrats showing up, and people are scared about that, particularly in this economy, particularly seniors, folks on fixed income. They don't want to see their property taxes increase. The debate that's now taking shape, and it's taking shape, is around the split roll, the idea that industrial and commercial spaces, we can look potentially at indexing it. I know this is a tough debate, particularly now in this economy when you're trying to recruit more manufacturing and recruit companies back from Arizona, Nevada, Texas, and other parts of the country where these businesses have left. So it's a tough one.
Yes or no, Mr. Mayor?
Well, I've answered the question in this context.
You have not answered the question, Mr. Mayor.
I will make sure he answers it.
Okay. I'm not touching the residential side, but I want to make this point, Abel. I think it's important that we change our tax system in the state. What's happened with Prop 13 is it's done the following. We've made up for the reduction in taxes by increasing our income tax, our corporate taxes, increased our capital gains tax, so among the highest in the nation. And they're hurting jobs, and they're hurting our ability to grow our economy. I think we have to have an honest debate in this state about changing the tax system, and I think you have to put all this on the table. I'm not going to touch the residential side of Prop 13. I do believe that's sacrosanct, but I think you have to have an honest debate about the entire tax system. I've actually called to reduce capital gains taxes in the state, not eliminate them.
So just to be clear,
we need to have this debate.
So just to be clear, you're open to having a split roll where you would remove commercial property from Prop 13.
I don't think this is the right time to do it, and I made that clear in terms of where the economy is at a time when we need to be recruiting businesses back to the state and encourage businesses to grow in the state. But I do think it needs to be put into the mix with our corporate tax rates, our capital gains tax rates, and our income tax rates that are disproportionately higher than almost every other state in the nation that I think also need to be reviewed and potentially reduced.
Scott, I said no to both, Scott.
Okay, and you're both on the record.
Is the mayor no on both, yes or no?
Well, do you think it's not fair to say put it on the table? I'm open to changing it in the context of other policy changes.
But, you know, I think it's important, Scott, that when you're going to a job interview, where are you at? And that's been vintage Gavin Newsom. He tries to straddle the fence, yes and no. And if we look at this, we have a laboratory of experiments and yes and no. Yes or no?
Well, Abel, with respect, I'm very proud. I'm one of these politicians that actually says what I mean and means what I say. I don't say one thing
for the life of you
in one group.
What the Lieutenant Governor did, and you were not going to run for the office, and now you're saying that you are. Come on, Gavin.
I don't say one thing in one group and another in another group. I stand on a lot of principles. I take a lot of heat, regardless of political consequences, to fight for people, to fight for the diverse communities in the state, to fight for the environment in the state, and to grow jobs and to invest in education and not cut education.
Mr. Mayor, who you are.
Or, you know what? Let's get to some calls here. We've got a few people who want to join the conversation. Let's go to Ramin in Menlo Park.
Oh, hello. Good morning, gentlemen. My question is the following. I know that and everybody knows that California has a lot of severe problems politically, financially, etc. But I was wondering, either the candidates, what is their priority level of the issue of global warming? In other words, we can make it a very simple yes and no question. Would you call it global warming or climate change?
All right. I think we addressed that earlier with AB 32 and Prop 23. But Gavin Newsom?
Well, I think you can call it either climate change, global warming. There are parts of the planet that are warming disproportionately, but it's a climate change, the acuity of our climate that's changing across and around the world. And I don't think this debate has gone away or should go away. I think the fact is, though, regardless of whether or not you believe in global warming or climate change, I think everybody listening cares about jobs. And one of the principal areas where we need to invest is in green growth, low carbon, green growth. We've got to change the way we produce and consume energy. Let me give you some interesting facts. You invest $1 billion into coal, you generate 870 jobs. You put $1 billion into nuclear, you'll generate 1,000 to 1,500 jobs. But if you generate $1 billion or invest it into solar, that's 1,900 jobs, 3,300 jobs if you invest in wind, and 7,000 jobs you can create for $1 billion by investing in the way we use energy in our existing building stock. I want to change the dynamic to look at this debate, not just in terms of climate change and global warming, but as job generation and job growth. We've done this in San Francisco. We can do it in the state of California. We need real leadership on this, not equivocation, and I think this is a stark contrast to my opponent, who again voted against AB 32.
Abel Maldonado.
Well, I do believe that there's climate change, and that's one of the reasons that my voting record in Sacramento has been consistent. But it's also been consistent to make sure that we don't pass pieces of legislation that kill jobs in California, that hurt the small family businesses that are the economic stability of this great state.
All right, let's go back to the phones now, and Mark is on the line in Modesto. Good morning.
Morning. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I love the program. I'll be voting for Mayor Newsom in November, but I was prompted to call in because I was kind of disappointed to hear him try to blame Lieutenant Governor Maldonado for the UC fee hikes. You know, I think that's kind of a ridiculous accusation. I think everyone knows that UC fees have been going up for a lot of different reasons, and, you know, last year the economy was so terrible, our revenues went down quite a bit. And I just think it was a little disingenuous to try to blame one person, even though I think Maldonado's vote might have been a little bit selfish to try to get Prop 14 on the ballot. So
all right,
I just wanted to make that comment.
All right, Mark, thanks very much. Lieutenant Governor Maldonado, do you want to add to that at all?
Well, I mean, I just think, you know, according to Mayor Newsom, Abel Maldonado's the problem of everything in California. That's how he operates. That's how he gets his message. And I'm just grateful that the caller has just looked right at what he does.
All right. Go ahead.
This is important. I mean, here are the facts. In the last 10 years, fees have tripled at UC. Fees have tripled roughly at CSU. And we've seen increases of roughly 3 times at the community colleges. Abel, you've been there for 12 years. I think if you had demonstrated strong leadership to invest in higher education, as the governor incidentally did this year, chose not to do it last year, but chose to do it this year, things would be different. I'm not blaming you exclusively, and I appreciate the spirit of the caller. But the fact is, the record demonstrates a lack of resolve and commitment to this fundamental issue. I don't think there's anything more important than investing in higher education, investing in the quality and imagination of people. Human capital is our most precious resource. This needs to be a priority front and center, and we need real and bold leadership to make sure we don't see these tuition increases continue.
So what would you cut if not raising the tuition, if not cutting other programs? I mean, it's got a balance, right?
Yeah, but I think you saw that demonstrated in the budget framework that the governor and the legislative leaders just advanced. They're not cutting higher education this year because they value it. They prioritize it. It wasn't in 2004, and it wasn't when you got up there in 1998, 1999, 2000, and they went up every single year.
Cut education, and he wouldn't borrow money. Wow.
Well, the fact is, in San Francisco, we've made historic investments into public schools, even with budget deficits, because we prioritize it. And again, it's about leadership. This is tough time. I know how difficult that budget was last year because our budget deficit got bigger because you cut local government. I hope you can respect the fact that we didn't cut education in our city. We actually made historic investments in education because we valued it.
All right, let's go back to the phones now.
Mr. Mayor, you let illegal alien criminals loose in your city. That's what you do, Mr. Mayor.
What are you referring to?
The Gavin Newsom sanctuary city policies, that he would allow illegal alien felons, convicted of felonies, to be let loose in his city and eventually do a triple murder in San Francisco. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, the policy you're referring to, I believe, was enacted under Mayor Feinstein. I could be wrong.
No. That was a sanctuary city policy. But the office of the mayor's office of criminal justice is the one that let these folks loose.
Well, Mayor Newsom, that was a policy that got changed.
Yeah, the sanctuary policy, Scott, as you know, and I appreciate your reflection, was established when I was a teenager in 1985. It exists in Fresno, San Diego, San Jose, all across this state. With respect, Abel, what you just said is really misleading and below the belt. I just think, you know, there's something that's interesting in this election. You know, Abel, you've been up there 12 years, I've looked at your record, and I haven't been able to point to one significant thing you've done to get rid of sanctuary cities in Fresno and San Jose and down in San Diego, let alone San Francisco. I can't point to one. I think it's just pure political opportunism.
For public safety, Mr. Mayor, but the majority party in Sacramento has this committee called the Criminal Safety Committee that's so difficult to get things out. So we continue to push, Mr. Mayor. And where have you been on fighting for those criminal bills that go through the legislature?
Well, I think, and this is important, Scott, every major law enforcement organization in the state has had a chance to review both our records. The fact is, they've endorsed my candidacy. The biggest, PORAC and CSLEA, large law enforcement agencies representing the diversity of law enforcement in the state, have supported my candidacy. They oppose Abel Maldonado's candidacy. Crime rates in San Francisco are at historic lows. Homicide rates dropped almost 60% last year, the lowest since 1961. We're seeing double-digit declines in violent crime again this year, as we did last year. Abel, I'm proud of that record, and I'm proud of the law enforcement support I've received.
Mayor, I wouldn't be proud of your sanctuary city policies, Mr. Mayor, and I wouldn't tout them either.
Lieutenant Governor, your party has, of course, in some ways demonized illegal immigrants, accused them of gaming the system, using up social services and welfare. There's talk of amending the U.S. Constitution to prevent children of undocumented immigrants born here from becoming citizens. Are you comfortable with your party's, the Tea Party, for example, and its positions on immigration? Do you support that?
I have some strong disagreements with my party on immigration. Immigration is an important issue for me. I've been working very, very hard for years on immigration reform. The current administration promised immigration reform year one. It hasn't happened. I understand that the economy took first. But let me share something with you. What's made it so difficult to pass immigration reform in America? It's Gavin Newsom's sanctuary city policies, because everybody points to what happened in San Francisco. And when we try to come together to pass an immigration reform, they say, look what Mayor Newsom did in San Francisco. That's the problem. And let's just get to the facts, the reality. Here in San Francisco, if you're a convicted illegal felon, listen, Scott, convicted illegal felon, Mayor Newsom will fly you to your place of birth, or he'll take you to a group home in San Bernardino and drop you off.
All right. Now, comment, and then we want to get a caller.
I'm going to try to be fair and not take the bait here, but your facts are wrong. You have every right to your opinion, but you don't have the right to your own set of facts, Abel, and that's just simply untrue. But let's talk about the facts. Give me an opportunity here. You stood there side by side with Pete Wilson and supported Prop 187. You're absolutely right. We have a different point of view on immigration. You supported doing away with bilingual education, affirmative action. You have consistently been on the wrong side. You voted against the DREAM Act in California. You're on the wrong side of these issues. And this is in stark contrast to the work we've done to try to bring people together in the state. I'll fight for the diverse communities in the state. I won't scapegoat them. And I'll stand on principle trying to work together across party lines to bring together comprehensive immigration reform. But if we had your policies, the state would be in a much worse place than it is today.
All right, let's go to the phones now. Trisha is on the line in Hercules. Welcome.
Hi, this is Trish calling from Hercules. This question is for Abel. I heard on the radio that he supported the largest tax increase in history. I wanted to know why he did that.
Well, Trisha, probably the hardest vote I've ever taken in my life. And I must say to you that last year, here was the choice. Stop construction jobs, stop jobs, continue to give IOUs to the people of California who were getting tax returns to pay medical bills, schools, no funding for schools, pink slip to teachers. I can go on and on and on. It was the best that we could do under the circumstances that we had last year. And you know what? Mr. Mayor, Gavin never called my office. He never called Sacramento to give us ideas on what he would do. He just liked to throw rocks at it. I don't think there was one Californian that expected a good budget last year, but they didn't want to be held hostage. And that's what the majority party in Sacramento was doing.
They expect their leaders to do what they say and mean what they say.
That's
you signed
right,
a pledge.
And you don't do that, Mr. Mayor, with all due respect.
I appreciate the opportunity to get my point across. You said you weren't going to do something, and you did it. It just goes to, again, the integrity of commitment.
All right, gentlemen, we have just a few minutes left. We did want to bring a couple of the minor party candidates in after you leave, but let me give each of you just a chance to tell folks why you think you have what it takes to be lieutenant governor and why people should vote for you. We'll start with you, Abel Maldonado.
Well, I just think this is a clear choice election as you move forward and you go to vote. You know, I've been traveling the state for quite some time, and no one, not one person has come to me and said, you know what, I want to run my city like San Francisco runs their city. Not one. And fact of the matter, people hand me the article that says that San Francisco is the worst-run city in America. Now, let me share something with you. I love San Francisco. It has charm. It is a beautiful city with great restaurant, vibrant. But you know what? At the end of the day, Mayor Newsom's policies have really hurt this city, from a sanctuary city policy, transporting illegal felons to Honduras, putting them in group homes in San Bernardino, and just saying, well, that's not me, it wasn't me, but yet the guy that runs the operation is still there. That's no accountability. And for me, I want people to look at me, and when you ask me a question, the answer is yes or it's no. I'm never bumbling around and everything should be on the table, and if I do this, we could do that, and we have these extraordinary times and this and that. I want people to look at this as an important job. I never said, for the life of me, what does the lieutenant governor's job do? Or I've never said, I'm not going to run for that office, and then 3 months later say, yeah, I want to run for the office.
All right, I'll tell you what, we are short on time. We do want to give the minor party candidates a chance to talk, but Mayor Newsom.
Well, here's what I want to do as your next lieutenant governor. I want to dramatically change the way we produce and consume energy in this state. I want to lead a green collar economy. I want to invest in renewable energies. I want to invest in the jobs tomorrow in small businesses and bring manufacturing back to the state of California. I want to realign our workforce development strategies in this state. I want to focus on our regional economy. I want to invest in people again, invest in higher education, invest in our community colleges, invest in K-12 education. And I want to make sure this state moves forward with a reform agenda. I'm proud of the work we've done here in San Francisco, and I believe that this state's best days are not behind it. They're ahead of us if we have the courage to move in a completely new direction. And I think my candidacy offers change. It offers that new direction. And it offers hope to try to solve some of the great challenges this state faces.
All right. San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom, the Democratic nominee for lieutenant governor. Thanks to you. Thanks also to the incumbent Republican, Abel Maldonado, for joining us this hour from Sacramento by phone. Thanks to both of you. Well, I want to bring in two of the other minor party candidates to round out the hour. C.T. Weber is the Peace and Freedom Party candidate for lieutenant governor. Welcome to you.
Good morning.
And also,
I'd like to call it the alternative party, not
okay.
Party.
Fair enough. An alternative party, a third party, whatever you choose is fine with me. And then also joining us, Jimmy Castillo. He is the Green Party candidate for lieutenant governor. Welcome to you as well. Let me begin with you, C.T. Weber. You're a longtime union organizer. You say in your materials that if you're lieutenant governor and the legislature wants to send you a bill on single payer or gay marriage or the death penalty, that you'll be happy to sign those things, no matter who the governor is. Are you saying that if you're elected lieutenant governor, that you'd basically be independent in the sense that you wouldn't be just a caretaker when the governor is out of the state, but rather you'd actually try to shake things up?
I would try to shake things up because too long, you know, that the governor has vetoed what I think are good bills, like, for example, single-payer health care. And those are things that I think would be important to both the financial health and the well-being of the state as well, have everybody in California being covered by health care. So I would try, if I had the opportunity, government was out of the state on business or something, I would try to sign any progressive bill that came across my desk.
And what about appointing judges? I mean, if there was anything on the table that the governor is authorized to do, are you saying that you would basically sort of step up and take advantage of that moment and usurp that power?
I wouldn't usurp it, but if it was within my jurisdiction to do so, I would do what I had to do.
And you don't think that would make the governor, especially if it was someone would be of a different party most likely, but someone, say, of a conservative, a Republican governor, wouldn't that make them less likely to turn over the reins to you?
It would, and they would probably stay and do their job instead of running around the world.
Okay. Jimmy Castillo from the Green Party, you identify yourself as a spiritual leader in the Native American community. You serve as a mentor to young men at the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. What would you bring to the job of Lieutenant Governor?
Well, one of the things I'd like to bring to the job is to reform our prison system, you know, and I don't hear any other candidates talking about that. A few years ago, they merged both the California Youth Authority and the Department of Corrections and formed the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. And I worked for the Division of Juvenile Justice. And, I haven't seen any rehabilitation since they've done that. And in the Department of the Youth, what's formerly the Department of the Youth Authority, they really aren't doing anything any differently before it was merged.
What kind of reforms would you like to see specifically?
Well, they changed the law a few years ago to mandate all youthful offenders back to the counties, which the county only offers them incarceration. And the Department of the Youth Authority did have a high school, they did have a trade school, and they did have a university that would come into the Youth Authority to at least offer them an AA degree. And when they closed the facility that I was working at, they laid off all of the teachers, most of the mental health people, and 50% of the chaplains, and kept all of the guards. So where's the rehabilitation? I still don't see it.
C.T. Weber with the Peace and Freedom Party. There's been a lot of discussion earlier in this hour about how unhappy Californians are with the state of their state government. What do you see as the problem? Why are people so unhappy, and what would you do to change it?
Well, first of all, I'm going to be voting for Proposition 25, which would and allow a majority rule in California and get away from minority rule. That's been a real roadblock in California Capitol.
Just to remind people, that would allow a majority vote to pass a budget.
Yes, it would. I don't think it goes far enough, though. I think we also need a majority vote to increase taxes. To be fair, you know, there's no such thing as a free lunch. And to think that we can provide services without money is ridiculous. And we need people who will step forward. And, you know, I've been looking for 27 good legislators in California who would just say no on a budget that slashes social programs and doesn't provide the revenues that are necessary to run this state.
So where would you find the revenues?
You know, California is a very wealthy state. There's money here. Tax burden over the years has shifted away from those who are wealthy and onto those who are working and poor. And I would like to say, for example, under Reagan and Wilson, the tax brackets were higher. The top two, I would put them back to at least what they were under, if I had the opportunity, under Reagan and Wilson.
Of course, the reality is you'd need two-thirds a vote to get that done.
Well, hopefully, in this Prop 25 will pass, and if that passes, maybe we can get another initiative to have a split-row tax initiative and to get rid of the minority rule for passing taxes.
Of course, that's exactly what the opponents of Prop 25 fear. They say it's a tax increase Trojan horse.
No, well, it'd be...
It sounds like you're saying you hope that's the case.
Yeah, it would be nice, but I have doubts.
All right. Jimmy Castillo, what about you? For example, Prop 13, is that something you would support undoing completely or having a split role, putting the corporate properties... out from under Prop 13's protections?
No, I believe that needs to be decided by the voters.
What would you vote for it though? Do you support it?
No, not really.
Why is that?
Well, it just seems like big corporations that keep getting a break and all, you know, we need to work and listen to the people of the state of California and see what their needs are. And one of the things I'd like to do is actually go into our communities and talk to the people.
All right. C.T. Weber, you know, some people listening, and I mean, it's very clear that in the polls, the alternative party candidates don't really register more than 1 or 2%. You know, some people wonder just why do you bother? What are you trying to accomplish with your candidacy?
Well, there's a couple of things that I would say that there's we don't really have what I call a fair electoral system. That the way that districts are gerrymandered and these propositions wouldn't help any, but they're gerrymandered to be either a Democratic district or a Republican district, therefore freezing out third parties. People with the money, and I'd like to take money out of the process, but people with the money look at the districts and how they're gerrymandered and give money to, you know, Democrat and Democratic district and Republican in the Republican district. And the media plays along and says, oh, these people are getting money. They're serious. These people aren't getting any money. They're frivolous. Not necessarily true. And, you know, media has done great damage to third parties by not covering them. You know, they help make the news by not giving them the same type of coverage that they do to the Democratic and Republican parties.
You are a longtime union organizer. Do you think that unions, there's a lot of talk about pension reform in California, the state being unable, and local governments, for that matter, being unable to afford the kinds of pensions that are currently being paid out to retiring public employees. Do you think that unions need to give anything back? Do they need to pay more into their pensions? Does that need to be part of this discussion just as Prop 13 is?
You know, we've been paying money year after year for our pensions. You know, the idea of taking a cut in pay to work for a government and in hopes of, like, when you invest into your future, you have to hope that you're going to have something there when you retire. I think that the Divide and Benefit program is probably one of the best ones around. It's spread over several years to make it safe. When it happens to go down, there's other years when it's way up. And so their strategy is to spread that up and down over a long period of time, so that's more of a level playing field. And so I think it's a good program. All workers should be entitled to it rather than trying to take it away from the few that have it.
Jimmy Castillo, quickly, just short on time, would you make any changes, or do you think labor unions need to give anything back?
No, I don't think so. I've been a union member all my life, and really see where that works and helps the people with their retirement, like just like CT said. I support unions, but I was with AFSCME currently and
all right, you know, I'm sorry, we're short, Mr. Castillo, we're short on time, so I want to thank you, Jimmy Castillo, Green Party candidate for Lieutenant Governor. Also thanks to C.T. Weber from the Peace and Freedom Party. And earlier in the hour, Lieutenant Governor Abel Maldonado, the Republican, and Democratic Mayor Gavin Newsom, all candidates for Lieutenant Governor. Forum is produced by Tina Lauerberg, Judy Campbell, and Kevin Guillory. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our engineer today is Danny Bringer. I'm Scott Schaefer. Thanks for listening.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.